Just before I start my sermon, Rachel's just going to read scripture.
Good morning, church. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read the first 8 verses together. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling.
Thank you. This week we're going to... Oh, I don't need that mic. I have a mic. We're going to keep going in 1 Timothy, just from what Rachel had just read to us. And I'm making this two parts. My whole piece here, I was studying, and I've been studying for some time. And godly apparel for Christian women. My mind just left me. I'm going to make it into two parts, and we may even get into three parts. Because women are a blessing, and they are beautiful, and there is a beauty that God gives to them that is to be used beautifully within the church. And there is a lot of things throughout history and throughout different situations within different congregations that have maybe not always presented the right way for a woman to present herself to be godly in the eyes of the church and in the eyes of people. And there are times where she and churches have been able to present her in a godly way and been able to give her the position that is hers to have within the church. So saying all that is to say, we're going to dig through this. And I want to give you a little bit of last week and then move into, so I'm going to start off with a little bit with last week, and then I'll move into a little bit with who was praying, what was happening in the prayer, and then we'll just kind of just start verse 9 and 10 this week of 2 Timothy 2. Oh, not 2 Timothy. Don't go to 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. See, there's a blessing of a woman, my wife. She reminded me that I was in the wrong area. The wrong book. So 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 is where we're going to stop off. I'm not going to go into 11, 12, and 13, 14, and 15. I was going through it, and we would end up standing here for many hours, and I don't know if everyone wants to stay here till 2 o'clock or 3 or 4. And maybe you do, but we're not going to. So let's start off. Last week, we talked about the importance of prayer. How to pray, who to pray for, all people, unsaved, rulers. Some of you may have missed the service, so hopefully this helps you out a little bit. We have a priority and a purpose to pray for all people, the unsaved, brothers and sisters in Christ, and even rulers. Make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people. Plead with our God and thanks before God. We know that God desires all people to be saved. Verse 4, when we are a child of God, he sees the goodness of Christ on us. Our sin is no more. This proves the fact that there is justification because of the work of grace upon us. So no credit is given to us, but we are accredited through the mediator, who is Christ, who stands in before us. So the testimony of Jesus Christ, our mediator, is a testimony at the proper time. It's a perfect time. It was a perfect time here over 2,000 years ago. Perfect time now for us. So let me remind you of what Warren Wiersbe had said, which I brought up last week, which was off of verse 6. And let's just read that first. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, it says, "Who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Warren Wiersbe stated, "If the basis for prayer is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, then prayer is a most important activity in a church. Not to pray is to slight the cross. To pray only for ourselves is to deny the worldwide outreach of the cross. To ignore lost souls is to ignore the cross. All men, that's all people, is the key to this paragraph. We pray for all because Christ died for all, and it is God's will that all be saved. We must give ourselves to God to be a part of his worldwide program to reach people before it is too late." So we have a call on each of our lives. And first we need to pray, and then we need to share the good news. Let's pray again, and then let's go in to our next pieces of scripture. Father, I just thank you for the word that has already been brought forward this morning, the prayer requests that have been brought forward this morning, the desire to come before you and to know that you are not made of wood or stone, because you are real and you are spirit. And I thank you that we have your word that brings out your attributes, that we have your word that brings out the purpose of your Son and how he gave of himself by dwelling in the flesh so that we could look to him, knowing that his work was sufficient and perfect and complete, and you said that it was perfect and complete. And I thank you that your desire is for all people to be saved. And I think that we need to have that in the frontlets of our eyes and remember that when we see each person that we come in contact, when we come in contact with them throughout our days at work or passing them on the highway or passing them on the street, little short conversations, little hellos, that we need to remember that you desire for all people to be saved. And we have a commission as believers to go and share the good news of you. And I thank you that we do have a good news to share and the grace that we have to share with lost souls. I thank you for the music this morning that we have been blessed with and that we were able to worship you in music in such a manner as this today. And I ask now that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand the scriptures in light of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read verses 8 to 15. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. I'm reading from the ESV as well. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So, I'm not going to talk to you about the last verse yet, but I'm sure many of you have gone through that verse many times through the years and wondered what is going on in this verse. And we'll get to it. There are many different ideas and thoughts that scholars have given over the years, and they're good in their place, and there is an idea there, but if you have opportunity to go to commentaries, it's not a bad thing. It gives you a little bit more of an explanation of men who have studied through and really grasped a piece of what was there. And that's verse 15. We're not going to go into that yet, but we will. We'll get there. So verse 8, we'll just kind of go through this and on. So godly beauty through a covering is kind of the topic of this first part here. I want to step back, and the point of this, I've said this before, I want to give a bird's eye view down upon the scriptures, and I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to look a little bit at that too, but we're going to give a little bird's eye view and see a little of what Paul wants to say within this and what he has said in other places of scripture. So we're just going to step back and we're going to look at it from a distance. I like and love this section of scripture. I felt compassion and I felt myself within this place of scripture, seeing different things that I haven't seen before as I studied through it, and as I've studied through it many times, and the Lord has brought different things to light to me. But as I went through it this time, there was a different compassion that I had as I went towards it, towards women, and towards prayer, and towards the congregation itself. And maybe it's because of just position myself right now that I'm in. Maybe that was the reason, one of the reasons why. Because I am a leader, I'm a pastor here, and I want to make sure the Word of God goes forward right so that it is not misplaced, because I will be held account for misplacing what I bring. So, men and women in prayer. What we talked about last week, but I want to go a little bit more with that and then into this. What God desires for women in prayer, what God desires for men in prayer. How a woman is to learn, and how beauty is seen in submission. This is not just submission for the woman, but submission as well for the man. But not submission for the man to the woman, but submission to God. This text relates to show what is pleasing in the eyes of God. So we're going to see a little bit as we go through this, prayer and the purpose of prayer and the beauty of prayer and how God desires for men and women to pray, not just men to come out and pray, and that women can't say a word or can't pray out loud. No, there is a place for that, and the text of this will explain it more when we dig deeper with it. So God our Savior is pleased with us praying. There are leading positions within the church, and those positions involve each in order and gender. Men need to pray with holy hands, as we talked about in verse 8. The posture is not the importance, as I spoke to you last week about. The importance is how men are presenting themselves in prayer and how women are presenting themselves in prayer. This wasn't just men praying or vice versa. Then Paul moves into the outward beauty of women and how women are to act in the household of God when he goes into verse 9. God's rule of authority in the sexes does not change in our homes because of the grace of God, and in like manner, either does the church. The grace of God is there, but the gender roles do not change. There is gender and there is order to God's word. Legalists can twist the scriptures by laying a burden on women by making more rules for them to then what they think is obeying the scriptures. Legalists hear these verses on behalf of women to be in submission, dress, and roles, and then they make rules on what they should wear for dress and how long their hair length should be and what type of covering they should place on their heads. Legalism and those who believe in it see these texts and figure they know that they now have all the right answers for women and what they should and should not do. Let me remind you of 1 Timothy 1:7. Let's just read that again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Paul was speaking on behalf of the law specifically there, as we just read. But Paul stated that because there was teachers going out twisting the law itself because they thought that they knew and understood the law and said, let's put a burden on people. Let's not just let them have the grace of God. That's just too good. We can't let them just have that. No, we can have the grace of God. The grace of God is for all man, woman. It is for everyone. So while studying through this, the Lord has opened my eyes to a few areas of my own life that need some attention. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 11, 1 to 16. So if you would flip with me there. We're going to read a big clump here. A big portion. Clump maybe doesn't sound so good. A big portion. 1 Corinthians 11. Because the scriptures are not clumps. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Actually, verse 2, sorry. Now I commend you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife, verse 5, every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Verse 9, neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as a woman was made for man, so man is now born of woman, and all things from God. Verse 13, judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches. All right, I just read to you a whole other text that has a whole bunch more information for us. But I read that text to you because it can bring light to what's happening in the text that we're in. Now, what do we do with us Gentiles in our culture? Culture here, Gentiles, Greeks, Hebrews, Jews coming together to be one in Christ. 1 Corinthians, many coming together to be one in Christ. Timothy, Ephesus, coming together to be one in Christ. Now for us, coming together to be one in Christ. And we come with an array of different lives when we come into the church and when we become saved by God. We dress different, we act different now that we're saved. But we grow into that. It doesn't just go, and it, like, now we're perfect. That's not what happens when we get saved. Often, the gospel message can be presented in such a way that there has to be an instantaneous change where there's no mess-ups. That's not what happens when we become saved. God perfects us. There is an instantaneous salvation act that happens, but then there is the work of God on us through the Spirit of God in our lives to help us obey God. And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are there to help one another to fulfill those tasks. So that is why we need to gather and join together at whatever possibility that works for us, whether it's in our homes, sharing with one another, having meals together, going out for coffees, whatever that works for you. However that happens for you, we need to do that. We need to stay together and bind together, which we've talked about before as well. So what do we do? What is going to happen here for us? I read to you 1 Corinthians. We've read Timothy here, which in verse 9 it says, I'm going to come back to the text, so I'm not just giving my own thoughts on this. 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold pearls or costly attire. So, There's many jokes made on this and things said on this. Paul didn't like jewelry or didn't like this or that, or he was a bachelor and he didn't have any idea with what it was like to be married, and he was a pig, and there's different things that people will say. He was not. He was a gracious man. So he's not saying, women, you need to have your hair this long or this long or this long, or I think that you need to have it 14 inches or 12 inches, but the next man says 16 inches, or you should never cut it, says the next man. Paul doesn't give a length of hair. He's not saying that within this text. He is not trying to say that coming to service and looking like a bag lady is what you need to do. That's not what Paul is saying in this text, and he's not saying that you should come here and think that, well, I need to look like a bag lady so that everyone sees the work of God that he's done in my life. Well, you give another presentation when you dress in such a way like that. Paul is not against jewelry. He is not against that within this. There is a place for that, and we'll get to that too here. So, 1 Corinthians 1:3. The establishment of what is happening in 1 Corinthians 1:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, is the bigger picture and the timeless truth that is being pointed out in this text, and the timeless truth we'll get to in the next text. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. This is a timeless truth and a timeless principle. That is one of the major things that we need to see in this text of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in the text of 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and on, is that the head of the wife is the husband, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. There is gender roles that are laid out for us scripturally, and it's from the beginning. I can bring you back, and I just love that we were in Genesis throughout the Christmas season as well, because that's going to play in to these texts as well. So Paul's point comes across on how women are to present themselves in what we just read in verse 9 of 2 Timothy, which I want to read to you again. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. So what Paul presents in this comes out in this verse. To Timothy, are they holding authority over their husbands in the gathering of believers, or do they present themselves with genuineness to the authority of God that he had given them? The same can be said for men. Do you lord it over your wife with your authority, or do you respect your wife as Christ loved the church? These are questions for yourselves. How do you present yourself before your husband? How do you present yourself before your wife, husbands? How do you act within the church, husbands or men? How do you act within the church, women, before men? We can see an expression of a holy kiss. The reason I brought up timeless truths before, and the reason I'm going to say this now, is that we can see an expression of a holy kiss, foot washing, mass numbers of healings. Remember Paul's hanky, even if it touched his skin, and then they took it, and others were being healed, and demons were being delivered from people. That is not happening today. That is something that's not going forward. There is no hanky that's touching me or touching another elder within this congregation, and then someone else is laying it upon someone else. It was for a time, and it had a purpose for that time, and it was useful for that time and good for that time. So in our time, we don't have such a thing as that, but it was right for when it was. So these are all good, and they hold a place within the context of Scripture and time, but they do not always hold a place within our culture. Because you'll get the question where people say, well, how do you know that's culture? And how do you not know that's culture? How do you know the difference? There is nothing wrong with foot washing. I'm not saying that it's wrong, or that if you want to do a foot washing one day, or we decide to do it, it's not wrong in itself. But it does not hold the same principle in our culture today as it once did. Do I believe God can heal? Yes. Do you believe God can heal? But we do not see the same hanky, as I said earlier, or the apron as well that it said, that goes about and touches Paul and then touches other people. Doesn't touch Paul's skin and then touch other people. That's Acts 19, actually, if you want to read it, which I find interesting, too, that was the Ephesus church as well within Acts 19. And that's what we're talking about. Some things in Scripture are for a time and culture. So I brought that up to you to say that was not a timeless principle. That was for a cultural time. Foot washing is for a culture. But you can go to other cultures and other countries too, and you'll see different cultural representations that they have. And they're good for their time and how they act and how they present them. It's just we look at Canada and we can kind of get so stifled and look at ourselves and think that we're the only ones that know exactly what we should be doing. And we understand Scripture totally, and this is the only way that it should be done. The reason I say that as well is because there's women who have done many amazing things throughout Scripture that have been a blessing. Just think about Jesus, the woman that cared for him financially. She was doing something, right? In a way that God had ordered for that to happen. There's other points throughout Scripture. Romans, at the end of Romans, you're going to see piles of women pointed out. There's many other points in Scripture, and we're going to get to those things. So I'll stop talking in that area and babbling on. In our culture today, for the most part, the woman will take the last name of her husband. I don't know if there's... Is there anyone here who is married and has not taken the last name of her husband? If you don't want to lift your hand, that's okay too. So, we know that usually that's what happens. I know there's some that aren't married here too. That's okay. That's not a bad thing. There's all places of positions for all areas within our lives. Paul was not married. But this is one example of our culture showing a form of headship. It really is. I know that it's been being twisted today. I know that it's getting told and moved and maneuvered in wrong ways. But along with this, we have the ring. And it shows that the two have become wedded. It reveals outwardly to the church and the world that you are taken by another. And men are to be given the responsibility of leading their home alongside their helpmate. We can see it. We can physically see it. There's a difference between a man and a woman. They have totally different abilities. Women's skin is totally different. There's a totally different layer to the skin and how the skin feels. The softness of a woman in comparison to a man, he's much harder. Just squish him. In comparison to a woman, if you want to, this is just your husband, wife, or don't get all weird here with me. So if there is a difference between women and men, physically, outwardly, an outward presentation. So same thing within marriage. The husband will give his name to his wife to show that he is to care for her, to bring her close. It's just an outward. But then he has to prove it in his actions. She can take the last name, but he needs to show that he's actually a worthy man by how he acts and loves her. And he should have presented that even before he married her. So if you're looking for a husband, any women, look for a man who shows a godly life. And if he doesn't even have a hint of it, run away. In Quebec, I don't know if you've heard of this, but there is a law. I'm going to give you the section. Section 393, it says in their civil code that women are not allowed to take the last name of a man. It's illegal for them to take it. This is in Quebec. You might have opinions on Quebec. Let's not go there. Just in 1981, they made a law that a woman was not allowed to take her husband's last name. And if you want to get it done or switched, it's quite difficult as well. But under Quebec civil code, both spouses must keep their surname after they marry. I don't know how it works with the children. I don't know who takes what. I didn't look into all that. I heard about this years ago when I looked it up again to get it straightforward. But thereby protecting the woman's identity is their idea. They want to protect the woman's identity. Let me read that again. Thereby protecting the woman's identity, the government is so threatened she will lose after marriage. So, it's a little messed up. Because we know that a woman taking the last name of the husband is a way of culturally showing that a woman is coming under her husband. The church is to present this and represent this in such a way that it gives people light of what Scripture says, and we can bring a mixed gospel when we don't present the message right. But that's just culturally. This is tiny. So there's a little piece of what culture has done with the marriage place, with the last name. It's tiny, but at the same time, they took that away because they didn't want the woman's identity to be lost. Well, when we're Christians, our identity is in Christ, whether that's male or female. We can read Galatians 3:28 and see a whole bunch there to see that there is Jew, Greek, Gentile, woman, man, before God. You know what? I'll just read it to you because I can't remember exactly what it says. Galatians 3:28. I'm coming. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male, female, for you are all one in Christ. Yes, your identity is in Christ, but this does not mean that gender roles have gone away because of identity in Christ. Different churches are starting to twist that and try to explain that in such a way that women can then become pastors or elders. It's a lie. That's not the role that a woman is to take because it is not godly. So, a woman is to be cared for by her husband and to be loved by her husband, and our culture represents different things in different ways. We just talked about Quebec and the law that they've put in place, 1981. You can look at it yourself, check it out. Was to not have the woman have her identity taken away. But she is to be cared for by her husband. Her identity as a woman is not taken away because she takes her husband's last name. It is to show rule and authority of what the husband is to be to her, a carer for her, a leader, a protector for his wife. So we are given timeless principles in the text of 1 Corinthians and timeless principles of the head of a woman and man. The head of the man is Christ, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians. All that stuff. Women, if you want to cover your head, I'm not saying that you can't cover your head with a shawl. Do it. Please do it. Cover your head if that's what you think. If you believe that the Lord has told you through Scripture, cover your head. Women's hair is another thing. If you want to grow your hair out, you want to cut it, what I'm not giving you no lengths on estimations of where you should cut it or not cut it. Scripture does not either. But a woman's hair is her glory. You can find that out in 1 Corinthians 11:15, which we read today. But don't cover your head in service and then try to lead your husband. Are you super authority over him? Your covering of the outward is to resemble your covering in submission to your husband. With the husband, his covering is not his wife. His covering is submission to God, not being under his wife. So what is the big picture? Do you, husbands, submit to God and represent that to the church? Women, do you submit to your husbands and represent that in your outward apparel to the church? I want to read verse 9 here, and we'll slowly come to a close here because we're going to come back to it again. I just got to read it to you. Verse 9 and 10, I want to read again of 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty, self-control, not with braided hair, gold pearls, or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Godly attire is a beautiful thing in the eyes of God. As I said before, if you women want to dress up and come to service and look what you believe is right on the outside. But we do know that we're not going to wear our beach wear to service. It's pretty obvious. We know that there is an outward presentation that we don't want to bring to different areas and different places. We want to dress in a form and fashion that glorifies God. But men can show their place and position by loving and caring for their wife, respecting the wife. Do not lord it. Do not lord your God-given role over your wife to abuse and stifle her from the God-given gift God gave her. Otherwise, you will disgrace the name of God by your outward behavior, and God will not hear your prayers. Just look and we can look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4 is on your bulletin, but then 1 Peter 3, 7, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. Keep that in your mind when you read that text, honor. To the woman as a weaker vessel. And then don't try to belittle a woman trying to say she's less than you and weaker in her spiritual walk. Your wife could know more godly truth than you, husbands. It's a possibility. It's not a small one. They can. But how does the wife learn? Does she learn to usurp authority over her husband? Do you learn to take the authority of your husband or to be above your husband? Because then you would be going against the godly gift and you would not be quiet. That's where that comes into play. Since, I'm going to read the rest of the verse in 1 Peter. Since they are here heirs with you of the grace, which we talked about Galatians 3:28. They are heirs with you of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. Last part of that thing, remember that, men. Watch how you speak to your wives. Watch how you treat your wives. Watch how you honor your wife. Do you honor your wife? Do I honor the women in this congregation? Do I honor my wife? Do I represent myself in such a way that proves the work of God on my life, that I care for women in a godly manner? I know this text, there's a piece here that's going to get into women, but I really think it's important that men understand the role that they play as much as women understand the role that they play. And it is a good thing. Isaiah 59:2, you can look at men as well for another verse. And women, on God not hearing your prayers. Both men and women are heirs through the grace, but that doesn't mean that God has forsaken his order, which was established at the beginning of creation. I have a lot more to say, and I cannot keep going, because we need to stop. This is hard, because there's a lot I have to say within this, but I want to end with this, though. This is for women. The world's standards do not mark inner beauty of a godly woman. Our world wants young girls and women to believe that they're beautiful by looking like they have made, by looking what they have made the standards to be. That's what the world, that's what our culture wants, is for women to look a certain way because they have presented it this way. So when we become saved, as women, and we come into the church, we're used to that idea and that mentality. So when a woman gets saved and comes into the church, there is a new mentality that needs to be changed and a new identity that she has now in Christ. And then if she gets married, she still has identity in Christ. Paul was not saying, when he tells women that they should not present themselves with their jewelry and all that stuff. He's not saying that they cannot dress up, as I said earlier, and look nice. He is saying that that outward presentation must not hinder the gospel message. Rich people can pull up here, they can come in here, and they can present all their richness on the outside, saying, look at me, I am so rich, I am so perfect, and look at all my money that I have, and you can see it all on the outside. That's what rich people can do. But the one who is rich in Christ and is rich with lots of money can use it right to glorify God and to give in such a way that gives and cares for the believers and all those that the Lord has given that money to him to give in areas that he needs to. We just heard an example of Meekles with the $300,000 that was raised in comparison to $150,000. There are people that gave to that clearly, or church bodies. I don't even know where it all come from. But God gave above and beyond what they were even looking for. The rich can use their money wisely. Just read James 5 and you'll see how the rich are to use their finances. I say that to say that there's nothing wrong with looking nice. So Paul was not against that. He was not against braided hair or jewelry. He wasn't saying that's evil. That's not what he was saying. Women can wear it. It's not wrong to do it. It's not unbiblical to wear jewelry or to look nice. That is totally fine. You are beautiful because of God's grace, and when you understand how your worth and identity are in Christ, your inner beauty comes out in your life. I'm going to end with that. Let's pray and let's sing together. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the scriptures. I thank you that we have them to go through. And Father, I know that there's probably lots of questions or lots of ideas that many people have here today or wanting more or thinking, well, whatever it may be, Father, you know. And I just thank you that we have another opportunity. Lord willing, we have another opportunity to gather together and to go through this text. That is the plan at the moment. And unless you decide to take us back, then so be it and take us home. And we await what a beautiful glory that will be to be in your presence for all eternity and to praise you for all eternity, to feel no weight of sin, to feel no pain of sorrow, to not weep over the loss of a brother or sister, to not weep over the loss of a child, to not weep over the loss of a wife or a husband, to not have that weight and feel that pain within our hearts and within our body, to feel weak or to have cancer, to not have that pain physically, or to have anger or to have bitterness or to have the desire to lust. All that will be gone, and we will be able to glorify you for all eternity. I thank you for the believers that are here today, and if anyone is questioning, that they would come before you and confess their sin to you. Confess how they've sinned against a holy God, not made of stone, but a holy, real God. Let us worship together in Jesus' name.